Where's the girl who asked the past person in future?
Wait.
The question the seven yogi asked, how the consciousness arises in the immaterial world. Previously, I have explained to you that this being, when he developed his jhana, before he proceeds to the immaterial jhana, he already developed the detachment towards material form. So from that, then he proceeds into immaterial jhana. Then if he can maintain that immaterial jhana up to dying moment, he will be reborn in the immaterial world without materiality. Without materiality, because this is the karma. This is the wish he wants. So when I asked my teacher, he gave me the exact answer that I have given to you. But you ask again, then how it happens? Then my teacher said, it's not necessary to know how it happens.
Okay, that means that it does happen some way, and then the five aggregates are not interdependent and always together.
Mm-hmm. So that's why we have five aggregates, sometimes we have four aggregates constitute. In the sutta we also say, sometimes we have four aggregates constitute, sometimes five. Just like, during Buddha's time, there's one prostitute who finally attained arahantship. She was reborn in mango tree, spontaneous rebirth for human being. So how it happens? Because it's her special karma. So how it happens is not necessary to know how he can be reborn in mango tree. No? It's not the thing that leads to the liberation, so just let it be.
Wait, she was reborn in a mango tree or as a mango tree?
No, in the mango tree. She was human being. She was human being reborn in the mango tree. As spontaneous birth. Not like us going through mother's womb. This spontaneous rebirth.
As a deva.
As a human. So this one her particular karma. So some people karma they reborn, they want because they develop detachment in an immaterial world, so there's no materiality. Okay?
It's a Dhammapali.
Dhammapali, right.
Dhammapali.
Chinjamana also reborn in tamarind tree.
Oh, Chinchamana.
Yeah.
But that she was, she really...
she abused
the Buddha.
But she was reborn in the tamarind tree. So this is their karma, because of their past karma, that she got this result.
So she was as a human being.
Right.
So she got down.
Okay, the question you asked, we have mentioned the causes, avijja and karmic formation, which was in the past, and the present effect is consciousness, mind, matter, six sense bases, then the future also birth, death, and so on. So the avijja is in the past, but when you reach dependent origination, when you discern your past, you want to find out which karma you perform that brings forth the human life in this present life. So you must when you discern that particular karma, which is rooted in avijja, so you can discern the mental state of avijja. So if at that moment you see the avijja arising, static, and passing away, every mental state goes through three stages: arising, static, and dissolution. So if you at that moment when you listen your past, then you see that avijja. When the moment you listen that avijja, that ignorance, you see the ignorance arising, static, and dissolution. And at that moment we can say you see the present moment of avijja. Although avijja has already passed, but at that moment you are discerning the arising state, static state, and this passing away state of avijja, stage of avijja. Then at that moment we can say the present. You are discerning the present moment of avijja, which has already passed. Okay. Now we go to the third ultimate truth. Now. Okay. We start with pay homage to the Buddha first.
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa.
As we said, there are four ultimate truths in Abhidhamma. Number one is consciousness. Number two, mental sector. Number three, matter, rupa. Number four, nibbana. We have already discussed consciousness, although not in detail, because all of you are in the beginning class, so I cannot go so detailed. Then, now we go to the third ultimate truth first, rather than second ultimate truth. The third ultimate truth is matter, we call rupa or materiality. Why is rupa so called in Pali? Because it is deformed, oppressed, broken by adverse physical conditions such as heat, cold, wind, sunburn, hunger, thirst, poison by flies, mosquitoes, snakes, and so on. For example, by weather, when the weather is cold and dry, your skin cracks. When weather is hot, your skin becomes reddened. When your skin is bitten by snakes, it becomes swollen, poisoned, becomes black. So, rupa is so called because it changes. It alters due to the physical condition. This is called rupa. And rupa is arising, passing away successfully and continuously. And rupa is twofold, both. Number one is great elements. We call, in Pali we call Maha Buddha. Buddha, the Pali word Buddha, Maha Buddha. Buddha means it bears its own characteristic called Buddha in Pali. So all these matters bear their own specific characteristics. So it really exists by the way of its intrinsic nature. Not like concept. Concept, if you divide that concept again and again, for example table, if you penetrate this table by way of four element meditation, then you see this table break down into billions of particles. And you penetrate it into each particle, then you still can see there's earth element, fire, water, wind, and so on. So this ultimate truth can be divided again and again because it itself has no intrinsic nature. But ultimate truth we call Buddha because it has its own intrinsic nature which cannot be subdivided again. Okay. So matter is twofold. One is called great elements. There are four. And another one is called derived materiality, upadaya rupa, or 24. So great elements is equal to the earth, and the derived materiality, just like the trees, grows, depend on the earth. So derived materiality arise, depends on the great four great elements. Which element, just like earth. Then the direct materiality, like the trees, which arise, depend on the earth. Okay? The lifespan of rupa equal to 17 mind moments. For example, the eye door cognitive process lasts for 17 moments. Do you still remember that? Then why the cognitive process perish away of a stop? Because lifespan of the visible object come to termination. Because lifespan of the rupa equal to 17 mind moments. That's why mind is faster than rupa, matter. Mind is faster than matter. So let's say this is called one rupa. One rupa kalapa. So rupa also arrive and pass away at tremendous speed. Even then, the rupa still can be divided into arising stage and static stage and dissolution stage. So we call sub-moment. The mind also, mind moment also has these three stages. Rupa also has these three stages. These three stages is called lifespan of the matter. So all these are rupa you can find in the body. But this is already enlarged. It's not as big as this one. Okay. Then rupa or matter arise in a group. It cannot arise separately. For example, earth element cannot arise separately. All the materiality must arise in group. So the basic group of materiality is called rupa kalapa, which consists of only the basic six elements. Number one is called earth element. Number two, water. Number three, fire. Number four, wind. Number five, color. Number six, smell. Number seven, taste. Number eight, nutritive essence. It's a basic element in each kalapa. Some kalapa got 9, some got 10, some got 11, but the 8 is the basic. Okay? And this rupa kalapa arise together. This 8 elements in one rupa kalapa must arise together and must cease together. And also they have the same common base. That is four grip elements. For example, the color, smell, taste, nutritive essence, these four are called derived materiality, which arise depend on the earth, water, fire, and wind. Okay? So the common base for one rupa kalapa is the four grip elements. Is it clear? Robert, you here?
Yes.
Okay. So earth element all arise together. We cannot say earth element arise first, then wind element arise better. No. All arise together, cease together. Okay. And they all depend on the four lit elements. So why is necessary to know this matter, materiality? Why is it necessary to know this 28 kinds of materiality? Because the Buddha said, a bhikkhu understands as it really is. All materiality of whatever kind consists of the four great elements and the materiality derived from the four great elements. This is the knowledge of materiality. And Buddha said that without this knowledge, the bhikkhu or the meditator is incapable of growth, increase and fulfillment in this Dhamma and Vinaya. That's why it's important. If you practice meditation without knowing the knowledge, the Buddha said you cannot, it's incapable of growth, incapable of making progress in the Dhamma, or incapable of reaching the fulfillment. That's why it's necessary to understand all these 28 kinds of rupa. Okay. Now let us discuss what are these four great elements. Number one, it's called earth element. Number two, water element. Number three, fire element. And number wind. At number four, wind element. All materiality, is the constitution of these four elements. Whatever materiality, make up by these four elements. So what is earth element? It serves as a support or foundation for the coexisting material phenomena. Earth is a support because it's the lowest. So it serves as a support for water element, for fire element, and for color and so on. For wind element. It's called earth element. And it represents the principle of extension, and it's due to this element of extension that objects occupy space. Without earth element, object cannot occupy space. And earth element has the characteristic of hardness. The other characteristic also, roughness is also characteristic of earth element. Softness is also characteristic of earth element. You may say, how can hardness and softness the characteristic of earth element? It's only relatively. Relatively. When you touch a thing, when it is very hard, it's called hardness. When it's not so hard, it's called softness. So it's only relatively, relatively. And water element. What's water element? Water element makes different particles of matter cohere, thereby preventing them from being scattered about. For example, our limbs, hands and feet. If without water element, all the particles become scattered about. It cannot make it into a shape. This water element is to cohere or bind together the coexisting materiality so that they can maintain in a good shape and good position. For example, the mountain. A mountain is a constituent of four elements. If you remove the water element in that mountain disappears instantly. Because nothing to hold them together, nothing to cohere, to bind them together. So this is the importance of earth element. Water element. So what is water element binds the other three elements of earth, wind and fire so that they can stand together and depend on one another. Just I have said the example of mountain. And water element has the characteristic of flowing. Now we come to fire element. What is fire element? It matures or ripens other material phenomena. The liveliness of all beings and plants is preserved by the fire element, by this fire element. For example, the corpse. Our body can, because fire element, we get this liveliness. So when we die, when we die, the body becomes corpse. The fire element is still there. But as time keeps on going, the fire element, the force of fire element becomes weakened. Then the corpse starts to rotten. When the fire element lost its force, then the corpse becomes dust. Then even disappear in the world, the dust. So that's the importance of fire element. And why your hair turned to grey color? Because of fire element. Fire element matures or ripens the coexisting material phenomena. Just like it turned to green girl. Like a banana, before banana matured, it's green color. So because of the fire element in that banana, it gradually turned to yellow color. Then slowly rotten. When the force of fire element become less, then it rotten, then disappear in the world. Fire element has the characteristic of heat or cold. It's also related to heat and cold. In our body, there are four components which fire element is very predominant. there's heat that warms the body. When the body has not enough heat element, you feel very cold. But some people's body has very strong heat element, and so he always feels warm. And the heat that causes maturing and aging, the heat that causes the skin turn to wrinkle, turn the black hair to the gray hair, all because of fire element. So the person who worried, who's very, who has a lot of anxiety, become older faster, become old faster, because the fire element is very excessive. So become more matured very quick. So it becomes old faster. The angry person also, when a person get very angry, the fire element become predominant. So it burns your body. So an angry person also, it burns the body, the skin also become wrinkled very fast. So if you want to remain beautiful all the time, you don't get angry.
We call it stress.
Okay. Stress, depression also. Okay. Heat of fever. When you've got a fever, it's because of the predominant fire element in the body. And number four, digestive heat. All over the body. The digestive heat is all over the body. If your this digestive heat is, it's because of previous karma. So some people have very weak digestive heat. So whatever is swallowed cannot be digested well. It's because of previous bad karma. That's what I mean.
You have trouble with something? You have trouble with something?
Yes, I have very weak digestive heat. So whatever I swallow is very difficult to digest. It's because of past karma. Okay, now we come to wind element. Wind element supports the existing materiality. For example, we can sit very straight because of the supporting of the wind. If there's no supporting of the wind, the body collapses. So the wind element supports the coexisting materiality. So you can sit well, stand well. And the wind element causes motion and movement in the other materiality. For example, my hand, I can move my hand. It's because the function of a wind element is to cause motion or movement in the other materiality. And the wind element has the characteristic of supporting. In our body, there are six types of wind element. Number one, wind that moves upwards, causing the belching, cough, sneezing, and related illness. Number two, wind that moves downwards, causing bowel movement and frequent motion. The wind that pushes down, moves down. And the wind, number third, wind that moves about in the, how to pronounce it?
Visceral
cavity, apart from the large and small intestine. Number four, wind that moves about inside the large and small intestine, the wind which is in the intestine push down the food system. Then you have to go to the toilet. Number five, wind that moves within the limbs. This is how we can move our hand because of wind that moves within the limbs. Number six, that wind inhales and exhales by us. This especially when you practice anapana. This?
Would you call stillness part of supporting?
Stillness, yes, because of the function of the wind element.
So when
the stillness of the body.
So total stillness would be conceived as support.
Yes, the wind element is predominant. But that stillness also can caused by the concentration, jhana concentration process. That concentration connected process also can maintain that posture for a long time.
Do you feel a lifting, lahuta, I think you call it. That's also wind.
Yes.
Or concentration. Could be concentration.
Every movement is because of predominant of wind. Mm-hmm. Every movement. Because the function of wind is to cause motion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how?
So vibration.
It's also wind, yes.
So wind would not be equivalent with oxygen?
No.
Oxygen is what? It has what? Oxygen is what?
Oxygen gas. He's talking about oxygen gas.
I must ask science students. I don't know that. I must ask science students what's oxygen. Okay, how four elements coexist? Huh? The four great elements are founded upon the earth element. Because earth element is the foundation of the other three elements. So all the three elements are founded upon the earth element, held together by water element. Without water element, everything scattered about. So held, bind together, held by the water element, and maintained by the fire element. If without fire element, become rotten. So it's maintained by the fire element, and distended by the wind element, so that it can stand well. So this is how four elements coexist together in every matter. How each other perform its own function. Okay? Any question? No. So in Abhidhamma we have 28 kinds of materiality. And Buddha say if you do not know this 28 kinds of materiality, you cannot make progress in the Dhamma. Okay? So what are the 28 kinds? These 28 kinds can be divided into two groups. Number one is called 18 real materiality, or called concretely produced materiality. Why is called concretely produced materiality? Because it is produced by four main causes. I think you all know already what the four main causes. Karma, then
consciousness,
temperature, and nutrition. Because it's produced by four main causes, that is called completely produced materiality. Okay. And another 10 is called non-completely produced materiality, because it arises not directly from these four main causes. Now, let us study what are the 18 real concretely produced materialities. Number one is four great elements. We have studied the meaning of it. In the second group, the five sensitive materialities. Five sensitive materialities: eye sensitivity, ear sensitivity, nose sensitivity, tongue sensitivity, and body sensitivity. These five sensitivity are called sensitivity materiality. And another group is four objective materiality. It becomes an object of the consciousness. These are called objective materiality: color, sound, smell, and taste. And this objective materiality impinge the sensitive materiality. So it has a characteristic of impingement to the sensitive materiality. For example, color impinge, eye sensitivity. Then sound impinge, ear sensitivity. Smell impinge, nose sensitivity. And the taste impinge, tongue sensitivity. How about the body?
Touch.
Okay, touch consists of three elements. That's earth element, wind element, and fire element. So tangible object consists of earth element, fire, and wind element. These three elements touch our body sensitivity. That's why you can feel it. You can feel heat, cold, you can feel hot because of element of hotness that touch the body sensitivity.
What about water, sister?
Water, according to the, it cannot be filled by way of touch.
You can't
feel
water.
You cannot feel by way of touch because water element is very profound. But when you discern four elements, if you discern other elements, then together with water, mainly you can feel it. But directly from touch, you cannot feel, according to the teaching of the Buddha.
When you say sensitive material, you mean the
okay.
The what they refer to, the transparent.
I will go into details. Okay, now just roughly let you know what are the 18 real concrete produced materiality. Another group is two sex materiality, that's female sex and male sex. Then one heart base, one life faculty, and one nutritive essence. So
in that previous one when you mentioned this sex, masculine and femininity, is it saying that at that time of the 30 material rupa kalapas being produced, you were either masculine or feminine, or everybody has both?
I will go to detail. Okay. One person only has one.
Well,
either male faculty or female faculty.
So not both.
Huh?
And no one has both.
Yes. Hermaphrodite. Hermaphrodite maybe has both. I will explain to you when I reach there. Huh? So roughly, these are the 18 real concrete produced methods. Now let us discuss in detail what the one by one. So all these 18 real materiality cannot arise one by one, but arise in a group we call Rupa Kalapa. The basic one is called pure octet kalapa. Now let us say eye sensitivity. What's the eye sensitivity? The sensitivity of primary elements, the sensitivity of four elements that is ready for the impact of visible objects. So we think eye sensitivity is the eye, which is not correct. According to Abhidhamma, eye, since the whole eye itself is called composite eye, the whole eye itself. Sambara chakru, composite eye, which has many materiality, I think 54. No? The eye sensitivity is inside the eye here. The sensitivity substance in the retina that registers color or light. Inside that retina, which is sensitive towards color or light, that's called eye sensitivity. The whole eye is not called eye sensitivity. Okay? Are you clear? And this eye sensitivity serves as a physical base for eye consciousness. When the visible object impinges eye sensitivity, then eye consciousness arises. That's why blind people because they don't have eye sensitivity. So eye consciousness cannot arise seeing the visible object. So blind people cannot see. Okay? Because only eye consciousness seeing visible object. But because its sensitivity does not function, so the consciousness cannot arise depend on the eye sensitivity. So eye sensitivity serves as a physical base for eye consciousness. Okay. And as I say, the metta or rupa cannot arise single. It must arise in a group. So eye sensitivity arises in a group we call eye dekat kalapa. Dekat means 10. So we have 10 elements. Earth element, water element, fire, wind, color, smell, taste, nutritive essence, life faculty, and eye sensitivity. This eye sensitivity The it's the last one. The eye detect alpha, the last one we call eye sensitivity. Then ear sensitivity. The sensitivity of primary elements. Primary elements means four elements. That is ready for the impact of sound. It's the sensitivity substance found inside the ear hole that registers sound. Not the whole ear itself. If you cut off this one, ear, how do you call it?
Externally.
It still can hear the sound because sensitivity is inside the eye hole. Okay. In Buddha speaking, the hole is called composite ear. But the eye sensitivity is inside that. Then eye sensitivity serves as physical base for ear consciousness. Ear sensitivity serves as physical base for ear consciousness. Any question? Is it clear? Paul, is it clear?
Does the Buddha specify how deep in the hole? Because we would think how deep this ear sensitivity is.
Yes.
We would think that it was so deep that it was somewhere in the brain.
No.
So like
eardrum, those holes. It's circular canals, which is just quite close.
I think it's mentioned in the, if you can, Visuddhi Magga. They say very exactly where is the eye sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
One layer after another layer. Exactly, if you read Visuddhi Magga.
There's a nerve that connects. That's what you're talking about.
So eye sensitivity arises in eye decat kalapa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Ear sensitivity arises in ear decat kalapa.
Sister, would you tell us again what life faculty is?
I will reach them one by one.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I will finish one by one. Oh. Then nose sensitivity. The sensitivity of primary elements that is ready for the impact of smell. And it's the sensitivity substance found inside the nose that registers smell. It serves as physical base for nose consciousness. The nose sensitivity arises in the kalapa we call nose decat kalapa. 10 elements. Tongue sensitivity. The sensitivity of primary elements that is ready for impact of taste. It's the sensitive substance found diffused over the tongue that registers taste. So the tongue knows this bitter taste, sweet taste, hot taste, sour taste, because it is over the tongue. And it's the physical base for tongue consciousness. Actually, it's the tongue consciousness know the taste, not the sensitivity. But the taste impinges the sensitivity that that tongue consciousness arises knowing the taste. That is, it serves as physical base for tongue consciousness. This topic is a bit boring, huh? But when you reach how the four causes produce materiality and how light appears in the meditation, then it will not be boring, but it's a basic thing. Even though boring, I have to tell you.
For most Westerners, it's also a unique perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You're focusing on function and characteristics,
right,
more than, what we do here in the West.
Yes, actually, tongue sensitivity has four functions. For example, characteristics, function, manifestation, and proximate cause. But I feel that it's not necessary for me to go into so detail. If you want, I can print out for you.
Okay.
I can print out for you. Each ultimate truth has this four characteristic, function, manifestation, and proximate cause. Now body sensitivity. The sensitivity of primary elements that is ready for impact of tangible objects. This tangible object is heart, earth element, fire and wind. These three are called tangible objects. Okay? And it extends all over the body that's sensitive to touch or tangible object. Not like eye sensitivity which found only in the inside the eye. But the body sensitivity all over the body. And then when you hit your head, you can feel the hardness. When you step on the wood, you can feel the hardness. Because body sensitivity is all over the body. Not in certain parts. Not in the certain part of the organ. It's the difference between body sensitivity with other sensitivity. It serves as a physical base for body consciousness. And body sensitivity arises in a group we call body decad kalapa. Now we come to heart base. You ask me the heart base. What's this heart base? Being the material support for all consciousness except five sense consciousness. It means all consciousness must arise based on the heart base. Except five sense consciousness means eye consciousness, which arise depend on eye sensitivity. Ear consciousness, which arise depend on ear sensitivity. Except this five sense consciousness, eye, ear, nose, tongue and body. The rest of consciousness, for example, five thought awaiting consciousness, jhavana consciousness, receiving consciousness, rebirth consciousness, all consciousness must arise depend on heart base. Where is this heart base? Heart base is found in the blood of the heart. In the blood of the heart. That's why in Buddha's teaching we say the heart, the mind is in the heart. But in Western teaching, the mind is in the brain. There's a difference. So when you feel sad, usually you feel the heart is painful, isn't it? When you feel sad, you never feel head is painful. When you feel very, very sad, sometimes you feel the heart is, when you feel very sorrow, very sad, you feel the heart is very painful. You never feel head is painful, because mind is in the heart. Mind is originated from the heart base. Okay.
Is it the blood in the heart?
Sorry. Yes, the blood in the heart. Not the heart itself. The blood, which always flows. And each consciousness arises, depend on only one heart base. We have billions of heart base. One consciousness arises, depend on one heart base only. And this heart base is the result of previous karma. So it's keep on arising and passing away, keep on arising and passing away. Even the heart is removed. Then, but because this heart base arise depend on the previous karma, even though your heart is removed, but the karma is still working. So the karma can produce a lot of heart base again. Arising and passing away, arising and passing away.
What would happen if for people that have heart transplants?
That's what I say, because the heart already they already take away the heart, then put the new one. But the blood, how can you take away the blood? The heart base is in the blood.
And because
in the blood of the heart.
And because the heart pumps blood throughout the body, doesn't that mean that it's in the blood everywhere, or is it just in the blood that's in the heart?
It's blood in
at
the
a
heart.
Given time.
It's only that area. Even the heart is transparent. Even though the heart is transparent, but this heart base is the result of previous karma. So it will keep on arising. Even the heart is changed. The heart base will keep on arising in the blood because it's the it's a result of previous karma.
Some people have to have medical procedures where they change the blood in the body.
Change the blood?
Yeah.
Okay.
New blood is brought in, old blood is moved out.
Mm.
So maybe it is that in one person's body, all the blood that they is changed. What effect does that have? Is your you incur somebody else's karma?
No.
Well, what happens there?
What happened to that process?
To the karma of that person.
The person who take out the blood, is it?
Well, if I had to go through dialysis and have all my blood changed, so it's all new blood.
Okay.
What, in terms of Abhidhamma, what effect does that have?
Even though you have all the new blood, okay, but the karma that you have performed previously keep on producing heart base in the new blood as well.
Okay.
So I think no. You know? Even though because of karma keep on producing the new heart base arise and pass away very quick at tremendous speed. The old one pass away. And the new one come again. Okay?
At some point, when you talk about what is meant by if someone has a weak heart base, what is the weakness referring to?
Oh, the one is near death cognitive process.
Okay.
At that time, I think the heart base produced by karma, previous karma become really weak, near dying.
Yeah.
So
if someone is prone to sadness, great sadness, what could one say that they have a weak heart base?
No. Sadness is mental state. The sadness mental state produce materiality originated from consciousness. Okay? The heart base is a result of karma, which produced by karma. So we cannot say that. We cannot say that.
Is it possible that sadness might be a result of karma though?
Yes.
There could be a component related to the
But nothing to do with heart base in your case. In your case, nothing to do with heart base. Because the sorrowful mental state is consciousness. It's a consciousness. Consciousness cannot produce heart base. Only karma can produce heart base.
Okay. Sister, when you say that it is the blood in the heart, do you mean the blood in the chambers of the heart or the blood in the tissues of the heart that are nourishing the heart?
Let me go and find out specifically where the heart is situated in the Visuddhi Magga, okay?
And also, in the West, we believe that blood comes from the marrow. It doesn't
come
not
from
originate
the marrow.
In the heart. So it's in the bones first and then it comes...
And the liver. Blood is made in the bone marrow and the liver.
So maybe that's why you could change your heart, change your blood, but the bone marrow would still be producing your blood in your body. Unless you have marrow transport.
I think I'm not familiar with that part.
I guess they have to be really made.
So each consciousness arises depending on only one heart base. There are billions of heart base, okay?
Sister May, you said the materiality, mentality produced materiality.
Mm-hmm. Consciousness can produce citta rupa.
Yeah, so that, how does it refer to the blood?
No.
She's talking about somebody being sad.
Oh, can. How the set can affect the blood.
Yes.
When you are set, the blood becomes dark. But this has nothing to do with heart base, okay?
That's the consciousness produce materiality.
Right. The blood, because of the mental state, they produce the materiality which is lower, which is inferior materiality. That the blood becomes dark. Mm-hmm. So the facial expression also becomes dark, not bright. Mm-hmm. But meditation, because of superior because of concentration. That concentration produced a lot of materiality borne by consciousness. That consciousness supported by concentration that produced superior materiality. That's why one's complexion become very bright. This called materiality produced by consciousness.
A few years ago, Sister Dipankara taught a retreat that I attended, and I think I remember her saying, I didn't understand it at all, but saying at the time that after jhana, you check the heart base for the jhana factor.
Right.
Is that right?
Right.
Can you explain that?
I think Tao Sera has explained many times in the Dhamma talk. He's the most qualified person to answer your question. You reserve this question to ask him because it's very complicated. This question, unless you know all the materiality first, then you understand it very well. Because all the mental factors emerge from the bhavanga. All the mind cognitive process emerge from the bhavanga. So the jhana absorption also emerge from the bhavanga. So the nimitta here will appear in the nimitta in the bhavanga. This is
reflection.
But I think many power that will keep you very satisfied and glad. Okay, now you do have a question about the heart base.
One last question,
yes.
And you can just ignore it if you like it. What is consciousness? Is it a kalapa? Is it a force? Is it energy?
Consciousness is has no form. Has no form. Not like materiality, you know, you can feel it. But consciousness, you can't. You can't touch it. Where is the consciousness? You can't.
So it's not made out of the...
No.
So it's not made, it's not a rupa, it's not made of any of those.
No.
It's so like an energy.
So it's not anywhere? It's not anywhere?
It's not anywhere?
Yeah, it's not a thing, so it's not in any particular place.
Consciousness arise depend on causes. All consciousness arise depend on cause and condition.
But does it arise in the heart?
Heart is the base for the, it's the material support for the consciousness to arise. The blood in the heart. It's not the heart itself. Okay?
So is consciousness in the blood?
It's consciousness in the blood. Consciousness also arises, passes away. It arises depend on that. It arises depend on that heart base. Then it passes away. And new consciousness arises depend on the new heart base, then passes away.
So it would arise right there in that location and then pass away.
Right. When you reach the materiality, you can know. You have to listen your mind. Then when you listen your mind here, you can see thousands of kalapa was produced from here, from the heart base.
I was asking you this today, before yesterday. Is a chitta a kalapa?
No.
No?
Chitta is consciousness. Kalapa is the group for materiality.
So all kalapas are physical, but chittas are not physical?
Right.
Okay.
Now, life faculty. What's life faculty? It's a vital force in materiality that sustains the life of a coexisting ten materiality. Sorry, coexisting materiality, and the ten is wrong. It maintains only karma produced materiality, like such as eye, ear, nose, and so on. Okay, you see the life faculty here? Number 9. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
This life faculty maintains the life force of one kalapa. to make this kalpa occur, to maintain its life, then pass away. This is the function of life faculty. But this life faculty only exists in the materiality born by karma only. In the materiality born by temperature, consciousness, and nutriment, you can't find this life faculty because it's a result of karma. So it means how this, for example, the life faculty maintains this kalapa to make this kalapa appear, occur, then maintain its static. As I have said, each kalapa go through three stages: arising, static, and dissolution. So the life faculty make this occur and maintain it until it pass away. This is life faculty. The tree is materiality born by temperature. Am I right?
Yes.
All external things, mountain, tree, ocean, are materiality born by temperature, which has no life faculty. Only each element, pure octa kalapa.
So according to Abhidhamma, a tree is not alive.
Has no life faculty. Has no life faculty. Doesn't mean has no life, but has no life faculty. Okay. That's why when you cut a tree, we do not say you perform killing, you know, because he has no life faculty. But you cut a being because he has life faculty, then we say you kill. The life faculty was cut off, then the person died. So you perform the killing. But we cut a tree, we never say, oh, this person performed killing, because the tree has no life faculty. All external things, all inanimate things are materially produced by temperature only. All the table, computer, projector, all are materially produced by temperature. And how it produced, we will discuss later. Okay? Mm-hmm. Already 7:30. Okay? What should I do? Stop. Continue. Another two, Okay. The life known as kalapa. The life faculty arises in a kalapa, in a group we call life known as kalapa. And this life faculty maintain the life of this kalapa, make it occur, make it static and disappear. And two sexual, let us finish the 18 real matter, then I will stop. The two sexual phenomena, because one is called female faculty. This female faculty spread all over the body to show that this is female. That's how we can see all this female, this male, very easily, because of female faculty spread over the body. It manifests through the mark, sign, work, and ways of the female. For example, the mark of females, let's say one of the mark, the
eyebrows.
Women's eyebrows and men's eyebrows is totally different. Women's eyebrow like half moon. Men's eyebrow is very rough. and the work and the way of the female, what I mean, the deportment of female is so much different. Female, you know, the movement of female is more gentle, but the movement of men is very rough. This is the female faculty, because manifested by the female faculty manifests through the, you know, through many ways, the way the woman walk, the work woman do. For example, the work woman do is not like the men, you know, the work, they have profession which only belong to women, and so on. The sign of, you know, we can see from the moment you see this person, you know, they have different signs from men, different marks from men. All this because of female fertility in the body, spread all over the body. And it's found all over the body. And female fertility exists in the female sexual decadence. And this female fertility is also the result of past karma. Because in the past life, when you perform the karma, you aspire to become a woman. Now, then this time you become a woman. That life agape is a result of past karma. So in one rupa kalapa, only one female faculty. Either male faculty or female faculty. Now the male faculty. To show that this is the male. It manifests through mark, sign, work, and the way of the male. For example, the mark. The mark very clear for men is this, how to call mustache. This is how to call
mustache.
From that sign, from that mark, you know it is a man. And here also, how to call
beard.
From this is the sign of female fertility. Very easy to recognize. Okay. And it's found all over the body. So the male skin also very rough, not like women, more soft and more tender. And the male faculty only found in the male sexual decadence. Okay, how about hermaphrodite? Hermaphrodite has both male faculty and female faculty. When this predominant. But for the man former prodigy, when he develops attachment to the man, the female faculty becomes suppressed. The female faculty becomes predominant. This for hermaphrodite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I didn't understand.
You didn't understand? You understand what I said?
No, I didn't understand what you just said. When the male becomes something to the male, then the female becomes more.
No. For example, the hermaphrodite has two, female faculty and male faculty.
Yes.
Okay? When, for example, when she, hermaphrodite, woman hermaphrodite, develop the attachment to the woman. Okay, woman love woman.
Yes.
Because he has two sex, man. Then at that, because he developed the attachment to the woman, then her female faculty are suppressed. The male faculty become predominant. Okay, so we have studied all the 18 methods. This 18 we call real method. Why? Because this 18 real method possessing intrinsic nature. For example, the earth element. The intrinsic nature for earth element is hardness. The intrinsic nature for fire element is heat. So each method has its own intrinsic nature. This is called real method. And it's called real method because it possesses common characteristics, which is impermanent, suffering, and non-self. All this method arise and pass away. That is impermanent. And oppressed by the constant arising and passing away, that is called suffering. And there's no abiding self which exercise control over it. It arises and passes away due to cause and condition. Not abiding self, exercise control over the process. Just like it's non-self. Okay? And this is called completely produced matter because this 18 real matter are produced by four main causes, which is karma, consciousness, temperature, and nutriment. This is called concretely produced matter. And this 18 real matter has to be comprehended by inside knowledge. Then tomorrow we study another 10 non-real matter. Any question?
When you say comprehended by insight, by insight,
yes,
that is you actually see them.
See them by inside knowledge.
Inside knowledge.
By inside knowledge that there is impermanent, suffering, and non-self.
Right.
And see them, right. See them appear
arise
in the
disappear.
Arise in the kalapa, and see them arise in passing away. Okay.
Question.
Yes.
As I understand it, a hermaphrodite has both male and female organs physically. So what is the case for a person who is gay, like a male who is a gay male, a homosexual male, who has
gay is the same like homosexual?
No.
Homosexual.
A homosexual male does not have both male and female organs. He would only have male organs, but he is attracted to
men.
The male sex.
Oh. Okay. Then, what's the question?
So, does he have the male faculty or the female faculty?
Male faculty. He's gay, but he loves the men, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's one male faculty.
Okay.
It's not mentioned in the comment. It's not mentioned in the text, I don't know.
But biology.
But one's organ, male faculty or female faculty can change within the person life, within one lifetime. That happened one story. Story means one event happened during Buddha's time. I think Mahakachana, if I'm not mistaken, this Mahakachana is Arahant. He is very handsome, very good looking. So one day, one man, I think we visited him, and when he looked at this Mahakachana, wow, he's so beautiful. You know, how nice if he can become my wife. Something like that. You know? The moment this unwholesome thought arrived toward an Arahant, his male faculty changed to the female. Immediately. So he was so shocked. And he felt so shameful. So he ran away. He became woman, so he ran away. And he reached another town. Then he married. Then she married. She married with another woman. And she married with another man. Okay? So after some time, she gave birth to one or two children. Then one day, I think she met one of her old friends who recognized him. The friend asked her, "What happened to you?" You know. So she told the whole story. Okay, why didn't you go and ask forgiveness from this Arahant? Now this is called repentance. You ask them, repentance, this can be done. Why don't you go and ask forgiveness from this Arahant? Maybe, you know, it can help you. Okay, let me try. So she go and personally go and ask forgiveness from this Arahant. The moment she finished ask forgiveness from this Arahant, her sex changed back to the male faculty. So the son, her two uh, children now has two father, no mother. Then after she changed back to the male, she was very disgusted to all this sankhara, all this formation. She feel very disgusted, you know, someone. And now the son has no mother, only two father, you know. So she's still very disgusted. She ordained, become monk. now he ordained, become monk. Then he tried very hard. Finally, he attained Arahant.
So, which children do you love more?
Then I think somebody asked, which children do you love more? Ask, because they know his background, you know, from female turn to male. I think before. Then after he attained Arahant, he has no attachment to his children anymore. But the fellow monk do not know he already become Arahant. Ask him, you know, which children do you love more? And just play fun with him. You know. I have no attachment to anyone. Mm. Then they reported to Buddha. Buddha said he already become Arahant. Mm. Mm. So it's very...
But in that story,
yes.
He answered that he loved his children more that he had as a woman than the ones that he had as a man. That's why that story gets told so often.
That's before Arahantship.
Yes.
After Arahantship, he has no attachment to any of
it. But you're sure in that story that it is a change of the sex faculty,
right.
Not a suppression of one?
It's a totally change.
And that's the only example where one changes and you would only change against... like a dramatic thing with an arahant, like it doesn't change other times.
I beg your pardon?
Like something so dramatic as that sex change happening spontaneously and completely like that. Mm. We only have one example in the sutra.
Only for sex. You want another example? Mean the change of sex or other things?
Well, that faculty. I'm surprised that it could change. I could understand that it could be suppressed, like with a hermaphrodite. And I'm thinking maybe that special person was a hermaphrodite or something.
No,
hard to believe that it could change. And do we only
karma is sometimes beyond our domain of, it's beyond our knowledge. That's what Buddha say. If you think how does karma work continuously, you will go to crazy. That's Buddha say, not I say one.
Okay. That's a very modern
karma towards Arahant is very heavy.
But that it should be instantaneous in this lifetime is very
strict. Just like I say, the human was born in the mango tree. How can you understand? Karma, then called karma. Manifestation of karma. Okay, what question do you have?
No, thank you so much. That was great. I appreciate it.
Okay. So, so this five sensitivity materialities are the result of karma. Okay, the sex materiality also result of karma. Heart base also, life faculty also result of karma. Okay, we should stop here. If you don't have questions, we continue tomorrow. Okay.
Idam me,
idam me,
punyam,
punyam,
atawa kaya waham,
atawa
odu,
odu,
idam me,
idam me,
punyam,
punyam,
nibanasa,
nibanasa,
pacayo,
pacayo,
odu,
odu,
etawata,
etawata.
Chaammehi
Chaammehi
Sampadam
Sampadam
Punya Sampadam
Punya Sampadam
Sape Deva
Sape Deva
Sape Buddha
Sape Buddha
Sape Satta
Sape Satta
Anumodantu
Anumodantu
Sapa
Sapa
Sampati
Sampati
Siddhiya
Siddhiya.
Please rejoice by saying three times
Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu.